Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. We officially made it. Ravens, Chiefs tonight, Thursday night football. So excited for that. And of course, one day away from Packers, Eagles. What a wonderful, wonderful time of year. Before we kick off today's show, where I'm joined by the one and only Carmen Vitale once again. So excited that she's going to be back with the Pack-A-Day Podcast for the entirety of this upcoming season. She's an absolute joy to speak with every single time. We'll get to that interview in just a moment. But before we get there, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Wausau Aaron, Noxical, Tyler Manning, Mac, Edwin Kerr, John Poston, and Honora J. Thank you so much for signing up. Means the world. Hope you guys are enjoying all the extra content. We've already had three videos this week, my season predictions and two bonus videos from Ross Uglum. So three bonus pieces of content just this week alone. You get the members Q&A, early access to videos. Make sure you are checking out those memberships if you have not already. As little as $3.99 per month. It's nothing. It's easy. Sign up. And again, if you can't, no worries, no big deal. Tell a friend, like, comment, subscribe, give those 5-star reviews. Those all do wonderful things to support the podcast and cost you absolutely nothing. So just appreciate you being here and being a part of this. Like I said, it is an unbelievably fun time of year. Before we get to Carmen, just two quick pieces of news and notes and updates. One, from an injury report standpoint, Devin White is out for the Philadelphia Eagles, their new starting linebacker coming over from Tampa Bay. Definitely a loss for Philly there. Zach Bond, and probably going to see maybe a little bit of N'Kobe Dean, the Georgia linebacker from a couple years ago in the draft. And then they do have Jeremiah Trotter Jr. as well. We'll see how they kind of mix and match at that linebacker position. But Devin White did not travel with the team. Meanwhile, for Green Bay, Tucker Kraft was added to the injury report. It was an estimated injury report because, of course, they were flying all day. He was added to the injury report with a back injury, while Aaron Mosby did not travel with the team due to a personal issue. So those are your injury updates. And then the only other small update, Kenneth Odemegwu, the International Pathway Program player who was released by Green Bay earlier in the offseason, he found a new role on the International Pathway Program with the Seattle Seahawks. So good for him that he landed on his feet and will have another opportunity to continue his NFL journey. Such a cool story there. We'll see if he can make it in Seattle. But now on to our special guest, Carmen Vitale, and our NFC North conversation that you are not going to want to miss. I am so insanely excited to be joined once again by the one and only Carmen Vitale. She is a NFL reporter for Fox Sports. You can find her as a host on Fox Sports Radio. She, of course, is our resident NFC North expert here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Carmen, I'm so thankful that you're going to be joining us for another season here on Pack-A-Day. How the heck have you been?
Yeah, I'm so excited to be back. Lots of changes this offseason, but all wonderful, and I'm thrilled for this division in general, because I'm just like, this season, I feel like it's just going to be insane for the NFC North.
It is. And I saw you on Fox Sports make the case. We're going to jump in right away because we have a lot of NFC North stuff to discuss, because it has been a hectic offseason. Obviously, we haven't had the opportunity to kind of chat through this. So we're going to go through a little bit of all of it. But I know you made the case for the NFC North being arguably the best division in football. And I think there is a strong argument to be made. And either way, it is at least in that top tier of divisions in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that it's going to make a push with the AFC North, or the kind of division to knock off, right? Yeah. But if we see three playoff teams from the NFC North this year, I don't think anybody is going to be particularly shocked. And that's because you have two teams that are locks at this point. I refuse to entertain the Lions dropping off. I refuse to entertain the Packers not continuing their ascension back into the title conversation. And then on paper, I'm so cautiously optimistic about the Chicago Bears, which is just insane to say. But it doesn't seem like a possibility that with all the talent they have and kind of the way that they've been trending and building towards this moment this season, that they're not going to be at least competitive and very, very pesky.
I totally agree. And I did my season predictions for our Pack-A-Day members here just today, actually, it launched. And I was honestly, like, this is going to sound weird from a Packers podcast. I was desperately trying to find a way to get the Bears in the playoffs, and I couldn't quite get there, but I will not be surprised at all if they do end up there. This is, I mean, there's two things. One, the Bears have had, as you know very well, recycled through a lot of young, talented quarterbacks. There's never been one like this in Chicago. And the second thing, through all of those quarterbacks that they've had, the first round picks, the Cade McNowns, the Mitch Trubisky's, we don't need to name all of them, but they've never had a supporting cast for a quarterback, especially a rookie like this before. So you're getting in potentially the best of both worlds from a Bears standpoint of the best rookie that they've ever had at quarterback with the best supporting cast. I am very intrigued as an NFL fan to see how that plays out this season.
Yeah, that's the biggest difference here is that this roster has been curated by Ryan Poles for the last three off seasons, and he did not rush this process. They are absolutely building for sustained success in Chicago. And when you look at this roster, the way it's constructed between the infusion of youth, but then also the infusion of veterans and experience, and making that sure that there's the right kind of experience around a guy like Caleb Williams, for instance, the only difference on their offensive line is going to be the center. So you have Ryan Bates being the swing guard there, but you also have, like I said, Colton Shelton, who has played a lot of football. Pairing a rookie with an experienced center, I think, is so important, on top of the fact that the most continuity on this offense exists on the offensive line. I don't think this is going to be the offensive line of old. I think they made some major strides last year. And that's going to be crucial in protecting Caleb Williams, but he's also a quarterback that can get himself out of situations and thrives in that environment of scrambling around. What encourages me so much too is that he has veterans to throw to in Keenan Allen. DJ Moore just got that extension. And you have DeAndre Swift now coming out of the backfield, where Caleb, when he scrambles, he is looking for additional throwing lanes. He's still looking to make a play with his arm, which I think is what's most encouraging about him. And when you have veteran receivers that can understand how to kind of move and get open against certain coverages because they know what they're looking at and they've had experience against it, that's going to just pay dividends, I think, for the Chicago Bears. And then it all hinges too on if the defense can continue the momentum from last year that they built up, and let that be a unit that Caleb Williams and the offense can rely on to limit the amount of points scored so that they don't have to go out there and play hero ball.
Yeah. And at first, when I looked at this Bears offseason, I was a little bit wary of, like, you're so building in this youthful young direction. Like, why are you bringing in a Keenan Allen? Why are you bringing in a Kevin Byard? And then you kind of look at it a little bit more and you kind of see if, like, on this young roster with a young quarterback, with some young players in the secondary, you get a Kevin Byard who has that experience, who can be used to lean upon, for some of those younger players, his experience, so that they can kind of help themselves as they kind of go through this, season with Chicago. And then on the offensive side of the ball, again, with a Keenan Allen, I mean, what a more perfect mentor for Aroma Dunze in the entire world than Keenan Allen next to him, and obviously DJ Moore there as well. So I actually, the more I kind of thought about it, the more I kind of liked a couple of those veteran additions for Chicago to kind of again get them to that next step, where you do have this beautiful blend of, hey, we have some experience and some guys who are going to help the younger guys come along, but all of this really young, talented core of a team that's going to be able to be here for a while still. Let's do the 1,000-foot view, really quick rundown of the Bears offseason. Yeah. They decided to keep Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles. Luke Getsy's out, Shane Waldron's in. Hire Eric Washington as their defensive coordinator, but obviously Eberflus, it's still going to be kind of his defense. Release Eddie Jackson and Cody Whitehair. Give 4 years, $76 million for Jalen Johnson, which after Patrick Surtain's contract today probably doesn't look...
Looks like a bargain.
Looks like a bargain immediately. Trade Justin Fields to the Steelers for a conditional sixth-round pick. Trade a fourth-round pick for Keenan Allen, sign Kevin Byard, DeAndre Swift for 3 years, 24, Gerald Everett for 2 years, $12 million, trade a fifth-round pick for Ryan Bates, who we just talked about, 2 years, $4.75 million for Jonathan Owens, the former Packer, 1 year, $3 million for Coleman Shelton, and then re-sign Mercedes Lewis, and then, of course, a draft class that consists of Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, Kieran Amagaji, Torrey Taylor, the punter, and one of my favorites in the draft class, Austin Booker, who they moved back in the fifth round to get. A interesting, fun, exciting offseason, and there is real excitement and hope in Chicago for this team.
Yeah, I'm going to be very interested to see what Austin Booker can do opposite of Montez Sweat, because I think that if you're looking for holes on this Bears roster, they exist along the defensive line, right? You're still expecting Javon Dexter to step up at that three-tech position, and that rotation, which consists of quite a few young players on the defensive interior to step up. Because Montez Sweat, while he was effective and led the Bears in sacks last year, despite getting there halfway through the season, he's going to need some help. And I think that Austin Booker can go a long way in that. I think that he'll be consistently underestimated, given that he was a fifth round pick, but the Bears really, really love him. So that defense, all three levels, just look really, really good. I think there's some things to be said about the depth in the secondary, and you're a little concerned about that as well. But really, across the board, this is such a complete roster. Ryan Poles did such an amazing job. And then again, making it sustainable contracts-wise, even when you talk about the experience, you know, Keenan Allen, a couple of year deal, sure. But then you have guys like DJ Moore, and you have now Roman Dunze that are on the same timeline as your quarterback and that will be there through his entire first contract. And this is just a really sustainable way, like I said, to build a team, not only from a developmental standpoint, but from a cap standpoint, from a monetary standpoint. I just think that Ryan Poles has so far knocked it out of the park. Now we're going to have to start seeing results. They're gunning to win, as you heard on Hard Knocks yesterday, I believe the episode came out.
Yeah, that's the only thing that could potentially set this team back is if all of a sudden they do struggle and then there's questions about Eberflus and you have to bring in another coach and coordinator, which sets the quarterback back because he's on a
that would be the cycle of what they've done before. You get a new GM
and it seems like Chicago can never get on a GM head coach quarterback cycle that ever makes sense. Can this be the time they do it, or will they have to reset that cycle again? I think that's going to be kind of the interesting thing. What are your sort of proper expectations for the Bears this season? Obviously Caleb Williams and what he can do is going to be the focal point of this entire team. It's a long-term approach, but what are some of the proper expectations for this team?
Yeah, I'm of the camp that I just want to take this all step by step, because we haven't been able to see a team that has consistently, a Bears team that has consistently fielded a winner. So get to being a winner first, get to a winning season. That shouldn't be hard with this amount of talent, but it will also go so far in validating all of the choices that Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus have made so far in how they're building this team. I also don't think that we need to see like a 5,000 yard season. Let's get to 4,000 yards with the passer first. I don't even think that Caleb Williams needs to do that right off the bat either. I like when you look at the talent around him, he doesn't need to be anything more than a game manager as he kind of gets acclimated to the league. And that could still spell success for the Bears given all of the pieces around them and all three phases of the ball. So if Caleb Williams kind of has 3,200 yards and 26 touchdowns or 23 touchdowns, like if he has like a CJ Stroud year, I mean, you're thrilled with that. You're absolutely insane. Like thrilled with that, whether or not that spells playoffs or contending for the division title. I think that that's a little lofty for where the Bears are at right now in relation to the rest of the division, because the Lions and the Packers have a head start on all of this. But as long as you see kind of more of the unquantifiable things, does the culture still stand up? Do you see Caleb Williams improving week to week? Do you see him getting to know his teammates, much in the way that it took Jordan Love half a season to really get on the same page as everybody and for Matt LaFleur to then open up the playbook in Green Bay and trust his offense? It's going to take at least that with a true rookie quarterback, no matter how good he is, no matter how much talent is around him. So I just get to a winning season. Like have Caleb Williams be improving week to week to week. Yeah. I don't want to assign numbers. I don't want to assign wins and all that kind of stuff. That will come with time, but just I want the indicators to be there.
We finally made it. It's opening week. Our fantasy drafts are done. Our pick'em selections are in. And the last thing we need to do is get our prize pick selections made for this week's incredible slate of action. And to kick off football season, one Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss the deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. What I love about Prize Picks is that they always put their members first. So all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. And when my picks hit, I can get my money in as quick as 15 minutes. So obviously, yes, I'm going to be playing Caleb Williams to start the season, and I'll also be going with the newest Packers star running back, Josh Jacobs, against the Eagles in Brazil as well. And the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. What's going on, everybody? I am so insanely happy that football is back. And as excited as I am right now, I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am to be back at Lambeau Field. And this year, I'm going to be taking my oldest son to his first ever regular season game, and that moment is going to mean so much to me. Thankfully, as I search for tickets to the game, Game Time has a brand new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. I'm actually scrolling through Game Time right now as we speak, and there are two tickets exactly in the section where I want, and it's currently listed as one of their amazing deals. Section 137, two tickets, and it's just so insanely easy to navigate and find amazing seats at the best prices, plus have the exact view of the seats you're purchasing. I can see them right now. And my absolute favorite part, Game Time has the lowest price guarantee. You'll get the lowest price to the game, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, P-A-C-K-A-D-A-Y, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Take the playoffs aside from the 2023 Green Bay Packers. I kind of feel like the 2023 Green Bay Packers, in a way, are sort of a blueprint for this Bears team going into 2024, meaning, listen, this Packers team last year had 3+ game losing streak. They had a 3-game winning streak. They lost to Tommy DeVito and the Giants, beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Like, right. I could see the Bears having situations where they have a very tough opponent like Detroit or, you know, who knows, and completely, you know, win that game and look like the better team throughout, and have games where they're, you know, facing maybe somebody even like Tennessee in week one and don't get the job done. Like, I could see some of that volatility like we saw in Green Bay last year with a young team be there for Chicago, but with some real signs of potential and growth. And like I said, in a lot of ways, I think that 2023 Packers team can almost be like a blueprint for this Bears team.
Yeah, I think Bears fans should be gunning for that. I think that they should be thrilled with something like that, where, yeah, you saw the bumps in the road, because it's just the NFL level is different. And especially like for a guy that's coming straight out of college, Jordan Love had the benefit of 3 years on the bench to know this playbook inside and out. And it still took half a season for his head coach to really trust him and the rest of the pieces around him. Just all of the little quirks, all of the different timing things, and just how Jordan Love plays the game. His receivers had to get used to that. And his receivers, half of them had to get used to playing in the NFL in general. So you have that with the Bears too. You have Rome Odunze as a rookie, and you have Keenan Allen, who is a vet, but still needs to get to know Caleb Williams. I don't expect progress to be linear, because it very rarely is. So you're going to have those ups and downs in the season, but I hope that nobody gets discouraged by that. And I think that even Matt Eberflus will get, barring something catastrophic happening, I think with the defense specifically, I think Matt Eberflus gets at least this year and probably next, just to make sure that everything is taking hold and not so as not to repeat the cycles that the Bears have made mistakes with when it came to Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky. And for the record, I don't think either of those guys hold a candle to the talent that Caleb Williams has. I don't know that they would have been better had they had a better situation, or better than Caleb would be, I should say. Right. I think they would have been better had they had these pieces around them. But everything is trending upwards, and just let it happen before we have all of these lofty expectations for the Chicago Bears. Doesn't mean it can't happen. I just don't want that to be the expectation keyword.
Yeah, I think that's really wise. And I think we're 100% in lockstep on that. And just going to be, I think, one of those very interesting years for Chicago. Obviously, again, as a Packers fan, a Packers podcast, we're not, you know, necessarily trained for that. But the Bears being better in the division, having a legitimate quarterback, certainly rekindling that rivalry. Yeah, there's going to be a level of potential fun to that. No question about it. That's enough Bears talk for one Packers podcast. Let's talk about the other evil, the Minnesota Vikings. Their big coaching change, they hired Josh McCown as their quarterback coach, which I think would have been interesting. instrumental to JJ McCarthy. More on that in just a moment. Free agent losses, Kirk Cousins, Danielle Hunter, Jordan Hicks, Marcus Davenport, DJ Wanham were some of the bigger ones. Released Alexander Mattison and Dean Lowry. Some big free agent signings, of course, Aaron Jones from the Packers, Jonathan Grenard, Andrew Van Ginkle, Blake Cashman, Sam Darnold, Jerry Tillery, Shaq Griffin. They get Stephon Gilmore late in the game. And then their draft class has been devastating, to say the least. JJ McCarthy out for the year with the injury. Of course, they get Dallas Turner, and then just the awful, awful news on Kyree Jackson, of course, passing away in the offseason. And then Walter Rout, Will Reichard, Michael Juergens, and Levi Drake Rodriguez to round out that draft class. It's been a tumultuous, bizarre offseason. There was a Jordan Addison situation as well, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, there were multiple. Multiple. He should not be driving a vehicle. Just put it that way.
It's been a weird offseason. Again, certainly some of the devastating stuff with the draft classes has just been brutal. But I'm still a team that's in a very interesting spot, kind of in a little bit of that middle ground where you're not exactly sure. They've got some really unbelievable pieces like Justin Jefferson. You're still questioning the quarterback position. So your thoughts on the Vikings and sort of expectations for them this season?
Yeah, I mean, I believe in curses. I'm superstitious. I'll be the first one to say all of that. And good Lord, I just feel so bad for Vikings fans, because it really does seem like this franchise is cursed in so many ways, from very serious ways, of course, with Kyree Jackson, to just even the are you kidding me ways when you lose your first round pick, who's supposed to be your quarterback of the future, to something that no one really saw coming. I mean, JJ McCarthy comes in the next day after that preseason game complaining of knee soreness, which isn't the weirdest thing in the world for a quarterback, of course. And then all of a sudden that escalates to season-ending MCL surgery. Just I hate that so much for JJ McCarthy, because I think that it's going to hamper his development. He's going to obviously have to focus on rehab and not get the benefit of developing with Kevin O'Connell, with Josh McCown, as you mentioned. That Josh McCown was put in place there to really be a second voice to Kevin O'Connell in developing a young quarterback, whoever that quarterback was going to be. Ended up being JJ McCarthy, who I think couldn't have asked for a better situation to go into, given the fact that he had limited reps at Michigan and just had so much potential that could be molded by one of the best coaches in the league, I think. It just sucks all the way around.
All the way around, yeah.
That being said, I don't think that the Minnesota Vikings are going to be the easy out that so many people are saying. Yes, they may finish in the bottom of the NFC North, but when you're talking potentially three teams that could make the playoffs in this division, I absolutely see Minnesota getting to 7, 8, 9 wins even this year, given the fact they had 7 wins last year after Kirk and still won games after Kirk Cousins went down. I mean, this is a team that is set up with so much talent. When you talk about Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson is going to be coming back. You have Aaron Jones now. Sorry, Packer fans. But you have and Jordan Addison is a good player, as long, again, as he doesn't get behind the wheel of a car. Yeah. He's good on the field. We just want, like, this is all just an incredible base for any quarterback. And if you can get just a game manager out of Sam Darnold, you're going to be competitive. On top of this defense, who, yes, lost Danielle Hunter, I actually think DJ Wanham was a bigger loss, given the fact that he didn't have the gaudy stats from that on that front. But good Lord, the pressure he created and just kind of the peskiness that he had. He was an unsung hero for a lot of the season in Minnesota there. But now you have Jonathan Grenard, who had 12 and a half sacks last year. You pair him with Dallas Turner, who was one of the best edge rushers that this class had available. I mean, you saw Kevin O'Connell's face in that draft video that Minnesota posted when Kwesi told him that they were going to be able to move up and go get Dallas Turner. Like, that is incredible for Brian Flores. Two potential double-digit guys is more than Brian Flores has ever had, because until last year with Danielle Hunter, Brian Flores had never had a double-digit sack guy. That's why his schemes are so creative and how they generate pressure is because he never had that dude. Now he potentially has two of those dudes. Yep. So I expect, I mean, you pair that with the fact that Brian Flores blitzes by far the most of anybody in the league, and getting some of the corners and the linebacker, the off-ball linebackers involved. I'm so excited to see what this defense looks like in its third iteration underneath Brian Flores. And I think that, again, they can limit the amount of points scored. They can get takeaways. They can generate so much pressure that makes it really hard for especially young quarterbacks going against them who haven't seen any of this kind of stuff before. So I don't think Minnesota's going to be an easy out. I think, again, they're the weakest of a very strong field when it comes to the NFC North. I hate it for Vikings fans because I think that, you know, if they had a hope of JJ McCarthy, I thought that Sam Darnold was going to have a long leash regardless.
Yeah.
But having that light at the end of the tunnel where, all right, three quarters of the way through the season or halfway through the season, even you think JJ's ready, you infuse him into this situation and just watch it go up from there. Hopefully that's just being delayed by a season and not delayed indefinitely.
As an NFL fan, I certainly hope so. Man, did he look good in preseason and in training camp? It was looking fantastic. And yes, I think Darnold was going to get a long leash, but man, I don't know how long they were going to be able to keep that guy off the field with the way that he was looking early on. So hopefully it's just a bump in the road for Minnesota and for JJ McCarthy, because yeah, I still think, you know, thankfully for him, he's still extremely young. He's still got a very, you know, bright future ahead of him. Just not the way anyone sort of wanted to start that career in Minnesota. Just the other couple things really quick. I think Andrew Van Ginkle too, you talked about somebody that fits perfectly. And I mean, perfectly into this defensive system. He can be an off-ball linebacker. He can be an edge rusher. He can be somebody that feigns a blitz and then drops back into coverage or looks like he's going to cover and then come on a delayed blitz. They're going to know how to use him very, very well. I think that was one of the more underrated signings of the entire offseason. And then, I just think this Minnesota team is ultimately going to be defined this year as just a pain in the ass. Like, it's not going to be like we say, like, it may not be a big time playoff team. It may not be somebody that makes a push with where they're at right now, but there's not going to be any team that's circling Minnesota on their calendar and being like, excited to play those guys this week. This is going to be an easy W. It is not going to be that way at all. They have too much talent there to make it that way. And two very, I think, good coaches on both sides of the ball that are going to have their offense and defenses prepared every single week. And I think, again, that just puts them in that complete pain in the ass category.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Let's go to the favorites in the division, at least as of right now, at least for most people, the Detroit Lions. No real coaching news of significance, but the fact that they were able to get both Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn back is still astounding. I think both of those guys were considered to be head coach favorites throughout the league, and both of them end up still as coordinators in Detroit. Lose some free agents, Josh Reynolds, Jonah Jackson, Julian Aquara, kind of TJ Gardner-Johnson, although he barely played a season ago. Teddy Bridgewater and Romeo Aquara retired. They released Tracy Walker and Cam Sutton. They traded for Carlton Davis. They pick up Marcus Davenport from Minnesota, Amik Robertson, DJ Reader, Kyle Pecco, and Kevin Zeitler. And then their draft class, Terrion Arnold, Ennis Rakestraw, Giovanni Manu, Sione Vakai, Makai Wingo, and Christian Mahogany. Thoughts on Detroit's offseason and their lofty expectations going into this year?
Yeah, I loved it. Brad Holmes really said, like, we're going to field a complete secondary come hell or high water. I'm going to make sure of it. Because if there was any hole on that Detroit team last year, it was the secondary. And it was depth. It wasn't even that, like, their starters weren't great. It was just they had the unfortunate thing where CJ Gardner-Johnson went down in the week two against the Seattle Seahawks. And again, that was one of those things where we talked to him in the locker room after. I was at that game. We talked to him in the locker room afterwards. He was talking about the season at large. And then all of a sudden it comes out. I even talked to the coaches over there that had no idea after the game that he had torn his pec and that he was going to be out. It was just like just the worst luck when it comes to the secondary in particular. So I love the pickup of Carlton Davis. He was a guy that I got to know in Tampa. I love his game. He's really like just really long. His length is kind of what makes him special. And just the way that he can get in the way of the ball, can't always catch the ball. That's one of the knocks against Carlton. True. But I think it was 2 or 3 years ago that he led the league back-to-back years in pass breakups. And so as long as you can just affect the ball, I think like that Carlton Davis is your dude. And then you have those safeties, it's Brian Branch in particular, that can be the one to take those balls away or, you know, be the one to get the tip pass and all that kind of stuff. Just extreme ball awareness. Such an amazing player for his rookie season. Now he's going into his second year. Sky's the limit for so many of these guys because the Lions are young and like they got immediate production out of so many of their young guys. I can't overstate how good Brad Holmes is drafting. And the fact that he went out and he got two corners with their first two picks this year in Terrion Arnold and Ennis Rakestraw, talked to guys over there too that said they weren't planning on doing that. It was just Ennis Rakestraw had like a first round grade. That's not exactly how they do grades there, but for the purposes of conversation, had a first round grade on Ennis Rakestraw. So he was too good to pass up and they were thrilled to get him too. I have all the high hopes in the world for this Lions team. They were so much fun. They've been so much fun to cover. I don't see them taking a step back, because being that close to the Super Bowl, your first Super Bowl ever as a franchise, and having it ripped away from you, that pain is something that has stuck with all these guys, and it's something that Dan Campbell reminds them of every chance he gets. And we all know that Dan Campbell is a wonderful leader of men and apparently a really good actor, now that we've seen him in an Applebee's commercial.
I did see that.
And there's more to come from there, because he really liked doing it. He just told reporters that today. I think that with all the talent and the fact that you have this team locked up for the most part, I mean, you've got your stars locked up through 2026, 2027. Like, this is going to be a long reign for the Detroit Lions, which, I mean, given the history of their franchise, is a crazy thing to say. I can't wait to see them go out there this year. And I hope all the best for them. I really do. And I don't think that there's any obvious holes that you can point to and say, oh, they're really weak there. They're really like, you can get nitpicky, but there's not much. It's a really wonderfully constructed roster.
It is. It's why I predict them to win the NFC North in the regular season. I think they can even finish first in the NFC in the regular season, just because you look at through the course of a, 17 game season, I just think they are so sound all the way around, barring any crazy injuries. That's another key part of their offseason too, is they did go and re-sign all of their key players, Jared Goff, Penei Sewell, Amon-Ra St. Brown. They really kind of went and made sure that those guys are going to be Detroit Lions for a while. You did not have the situations like in San Fran where Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams and guys were holding out. They got all their deals done. And then you mentioned it in the secondary. And not only, Brian Branch played really well last year, but Afatu Melifonwu really came on at the end of last year. And then they go out and, like you said, get Arnold and Rakestraw and Carlton Davis. And you could see that Aaron Glenn wanted to play more press man and more aggressive coverage and more blitzing at the end of last year. And he didn't always have the corners to do it. Now he's got the DBs to do it. And I think that's what's going to make that Lions defense so much better in 2024. Yeah. All right, let's go over to the one and only, the Green Bay Packers. We don't need to go through the entire offseason. Everyone here already knows exactly what happened. Obviously, some big pickups in Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. But your thoughts on the Packers offseason and their expectations going into this year? Hey, friends, how would you like to support the podcast and have a chance to earn $500? Well, you can go to bluewirepods.com/survey and complete the Blue Wire audience survey about you and your podcast listening habits for a chance to win a $500 gift card. This survey will help create a better advertising experience for you and audiences, and in turn, help this show. That's bluewirepods.com/survey, where all you have to do is answer some simple questions for a chance to win $500. Make sure to read the full terms and disclaimer, plus complete the survey for a chance to win. That's bluewirepods.com/survey. The link is also in the show notes of this episode. We appreciate it a ton.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see this iteration of the offensive line, because I know Jordan Morgan's trainer really well, or he trained with AQ Shipley this summer, and AQ just had so many glowing things to say about Jordan Morgan. The fact that you can take a first round pick and now slot him in at guard as of right now is it's a luxury. It really is. And seeing Rashid Walker step up at that left tackle spot, I mean, he's going to get tested right away, but I think that that's going to be a really good matchup to watch between, how Rashid Walker responds and to the vote of confidence essentially being given to him by this Packers organization, by this Packers offensive line coach. I'm really interested just to kind of see where Philadelphia is at, if we're going to talk like the start of the season, and how the Packers kind of respond, because there's obviously been so much turmoil, and that pass defense in Philly just completely collapsed. And when you have a Packers team like this one, where you have no idea who's going to get the ball on an every down basis, that makes it incredibly hard, because you cannot key in on one guy. You can't just put Darius Slay on Romeo or Christian or Jaden, or like, it's just incredibly effective that the Packers have this, and you're spending what, less than 10% of your cap on your offensive skill players. Yeah. It's such a cheat code. It's absolutely insane. And then to have Jordan Love have the rapport with all of these guys, because he's basically grown up with them. Oh, by the way, haven't even talked about the tight ends. Right. It's just, and those are guys that Matt LaFleur knows how to use. Matt LaFleur now, I mean, we get to see him with an open playbook right off the bat, because he trusts these guys. There's so much continuity on that offense that they are going to be able to hit the ground running. And with that step up this year, I think there's like, from a national perspective, it seems like there's almost Packers fatigue, because it's just like, well, they did it again. Yep. Business as usual in Green Bay. Like, everybody's just like, what else is there to say? I mean, and not to mention, I don't think the Packers, from some perspectives, I think you're right in saying that the Packers, 2023 Packers were a blueprint for the 2024 Bears. But in so many ways, the Packers can't be used as a blueprint because they're so unique of an organization, such a unique organization in general. When you don't have an owner and you have a track record of doing something a certain way and it works out every single time. I mean, I don't think there's another team in the league that can afford to sit a first round pick for 3 years before starting him. That just, there's too many outside pressures. There's too many, like, from the top pressures. And that's not something that Green Bay has to deal with from an ownership standpoint, but it's also something they can point to and say, well, this is what we did with Aaron Rodgers. Brett Favre sat too. Like, you have all of these indicators that this works, but I think it only works in Green Bay. And that's what's so frustrating for other teams, is like, they can't really take any lessons from Green Bay because that just doesn't work in pretty much any other market. But it uniquely positions the Packers to be successful year in and year out and never really have to go through these down rebuild years that you've seen in Chicago or even Minnesota and, of course, Detroit. Like, the Packers have just been the gold standard for so long, for three decades at this point. I'm so excited to see what fun wrinkles Matt LaFleur has for Jordan Love in this offense. I'm so excited to see them continue to ascend into that division title conversation. And the sky's the limit for these guys. I'm not surprised if you're talking Super Bowl for Green Bay come the end of the season. I just, they surprised everybody last year, everybody but themselves, I think. And yeah. I don't know that anybody would even be surprised this year if Green Bay reached the Super Bowl again.
I should probably just stop it there. That's a perfect way to end, right? Like, the Packers could reach, and I think you're totally right. I think they are in that conversation. It's hard because you never want to put expectations on a team too quickly, because then, you know, if they don't quite get there, then it's like a disappointment. But it's real. It's legitimate. This team is massively talented at every single spot. New defensive coordinator. We're going to see what he can do against this very potent Eagles offense in week one. But I thought you put it perfectly in just that this playbook for Matt should be wide open. Not only can, you know, these players run whatever he needs to run, but he has every single flavor of player at wide receiver, tight end, and running back that he possibly needs to run any form of offense on any down and any distance. The world is Matt LaFleur's oyster, and we know that he is going to be able to scheme stuff up to his heart's desire. And now he has everything that he needs. Kudos to Goody for getting him everything that he could possibly want to run this offense. And now you're seeing, I think, one of the best play designers and play callers with all those weapons. Look out rest of the NFL. It should be very fun to watch.
Yeah, I do. I keep saying that the underrated storyline with the Green Bay Packers, though, is that this team is going to go as far as the defense will let them. We've seen them underperform, that unit as a whole underperform the last few years. You bring in Jeff Hafley now. It's a new scheme, a brand new scheme. When you talk base formation, the 4-3 in Green Bay for the first time since what, 2008, something like that.
Yeah, around there.
Defensive schemes are more fluid than ever, so that doesn't necessarily mean a lot, but what you're going to lean on a lot is Xavier McKinney, and I think that he is kind of the X factor to see how this entire season goes for Green Bay. So I'm very interested to see how the defensive overhaul, but the differences in the defense this year are going, hopefully they work out, because again, like, if you can field a really good defense that the offense can rely on finally, I don't know who's stopping this team at this point. It's so funny to me. And I'm really excited too for Jordan Love to continue to ascend and to justify to a national audience why he was worth $55 million. I went on Speak on FS1 and talked about it right before it happened, where I'm like, yes, he's going to be the highest paid player in the league. And yes, he's going to deserve it. And it's because the Packers had no doubt that this was their guy. They only needed confirmation last season. That's all last season was confirmation of what they already knew. And he gave it to them and took the youngest team in the league to the divisional round of the playoffs. So what more did you need to make him the highest paid player? And he's only going to be the highest paid until Dak signs this deal, whenever that is. Right. And it's going to look like a bargain very, very soon. I cannot wait to be shouting from the rooftops about Jordan Love being an all-pro and Jordan Love just kind of continuing to ascend, again, to the chagrin of Bears fans and NFC North fans in general. I couldn't be higher on Jordan Love. I absolutely adore him.
And kudos to you, because a year ago at this time, we were talking to you about Jordan Love, and you literally called all of this. You're like, the Packers did it again. He's going to be the next franchise QB. So take it from Carmen. She knew at this time last year that this was going to be the case, and she is doubling down on it, rightfully so, this year, that he's going to continue that ascension. So that is amazing. Really quick, before we get you out of here, we've got Packers, Eagles, Vikings, Giants, Bears, Titans, and Lions, Rams. Just any quick things that you're going to be looking for in that slate of games from the NFC North?
Yeah, I mean, again, I really am curious to see how the Eagles look. It's more about how the Eagles look versus what I think the Green Bay Packers are going to be able to do. The time zones aren't terribly different, I don't think, down there. So I feel like that should, as far as international games go, it should be one of the less weird ones, given the fact that these guys aren't going to be all loopy. Bears, Titans. Going through the Titans roster and kind of previewing this game as I'm doing my notes today, I was like, a little like that defensive front in Tennessee. I don't think anybody's taken seriously, but they should.
Yeah.
But I'm a little nervous. Tennessee's roster in general, I mean, it all hinges on Will Levis, but if he's good, I mean, they're going to be a sneaky team. They really are. And I don't think that's going to be an easy out come Sunday for the Chicago Bears. Minnesota Giants, I mean, New York, that could go either way. It's a rematch of a couple years ago in the playoffs, but those teams are so different now. And I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota really, really takes that one. And then, I mean, the Lions, I think they're going to come out swinging. It's not going to be easy, like rematch with the Rams. And that wasn't an easy game in Detroit, but they won it. And I think that they can do it again. But again, talk about sneaky teams. The Rams, I think, are going to be, I mean, not so sneaky because they got in the playoffs last year, but they, I think that they've come up with enough solutions to the Aaron Donald hole at this point. And I have full faith in Sean McVay, who seems very like renewed and himself. Seems like he's back to being himself a little bit more. The Rams are going to be ones to watch out for too in the NFC West.
I really like the Braden Fisk, Jared Verse back-to-back picks to help replace Aaron Donald. I think that's going to pay off in a big way. I really liked both of those guys. And then just going back to Tennessee, talking about a team that could potentially be a pain in the ass. They did the whole thing of like, we've got a rookie quarterback that's making no money whatsoever. Let's go and get a bunch of free agents and a bunch of like, they go get Tony Pollard and Lloyd Cushenberry. And I know like Lloyd Cushenberry might not be like a household name, but like he is a really, really good center.
Really good center.
In Denver. Of course.
I was hoping he would go to Chicago, honestly.
Yes, that would have honestly. I don't know why they didn't. That would have been a phenomenal move for them. But I digress. Either way, I think they're going to be kind of a sneaky, fun team as well. I think that's what makes this first week slate of games all over the place so fun, is there are so many really talented teams out there, and kind of just want to see what all these teams are made of going into week one. Carmen, we got to get you out of here, but any final thoughts or plugs that you want to get to before we get you out?
Well, it was just announced today. Tune in every Thursday, because not only will I be on Pack-A-Day Podcast, but I will also be on PFF's preview show with Trevor Sikkema, previewing every single game on the NFL slate that week. It's really exciting. I'm really pumped to do this. Trevor and I know each other from Tampa, so this is like just kind of getting to talk ball with an old friend. Yeah. I'm really excited about that. Every Saturday, I still will have my radio show on Fox Sports Radio for football Saturdays, NFL football Saturdays. Gosh, what else? NFL on Fox Pod every Monday. I've got a lot of stuff going on. Just follow Carmi V.
A huge thank you again to Carmen Vitale for coming on and talking some NFC North today. She's the absolute best. Make sure to follow her on Twitter at Carmi V. Of course, a shout out as always to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Chebra Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Rataka, Caleb Cookster, SoCal Pack, Dan Gesford, Love and Football, and Jay Zimmerman. That's going to do it for us today, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.